So I'm going to talk about the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we blessed with the blessing of Abraham? And of course, you're going to say, Pastor John, you know the answer is yes. All right, so here's the question again. Are we blessed with the blessing of Abraham? And the answer is yes. We are blessed with the blessing of Abraham. And one thing I love about the Word of God is that when I read the Word of God and I study the Word of God, I always come across stuff I don't know. And I go, how did I miss that? Or I've never heard anybody teach on that. So I'm teaching on a part of a scripture that I've never heard preached on ever. And you may go on the internet and you may not find it preached anywhere. If you do, let me know, because I just didn't see it. I've never heard it explained this way. I'm going to tell you, Isaiah chapter 59, all right, verse 19. We're going to read this scripture. And I'm going to tell you this. This is something that Isaiah 59, and I've never heard anybody preach on this covenant, okay? And you'll see what I'm talking about. And I've never heard anybody preach, well, you'll hear me, okay? When you see this, you're going, wow, it's right here. It's so obvious. But I've never heard anybody teach this, okay? So, Lord, just anoint your servant here and anoint the ears and anoint the preaching. Anoint the mouth and the ears in Jesus' name. Let me hear what you got to say. Give me words to say so that they're your words. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 59, verse 19. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west. Glory to God. And from the rising of the sun. And he will come. Everybody say, he will come. How's he going to come? Like the rushing river, rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. He'll come like a rushing mighty wind. Is basically what it's saying. And I'm going to show you here, this is the exact same language used on the day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind. Okay? In the Bible, in the Gospels, in the Bible, this rushing waters and the rushing wind were kind of essentially the same. They're equivalent expressions. The flooding, driving water, and the mighty wind were something that was very, very similar. And if you lived in the desert climate, where you understand that it did not rain at all for 6 months, that you only had rain at one part of the year, and then the big rain hit the latter part at the end, and so much rain at that one time that all of the wadis or wadis or whatever you call that word that were empty during the year and dry. I've seen that. We used to live, my dad used to live in Nebraska. We could drive out there and we'd see the river there, the river in Nebraska that we'd go, the Platte River. And you look at that and you say, how could they call that a river? When you see this little trickle, that's because it doesn't rain all the time there. But then certain seasons, it rains a lot. And then you'll see this huge rushing stream, okay? And so here is this that way in Israel. And so there is a time when the rushing river comes once a year in Israel at that time. And it just so happens right around the time of Pentecost. And they use that same language on Pentecost. You'll see more here. And the Redeemer will come to Zion and those in Jacob who turn from transgressions. The Redeemer is who? Jesus. So this is a prophecy about Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming like a rushing mighty river and a wind. Then it says this, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit is upon you, that is upon you, and my words that I have put in your mouth. Everybody say, I have put my words in your mouth. That's what the Lord's telling us. Number one, I'm putting my spirit on you, and I'm putting my words in your mouth. And what does he say? And it's very important. The word mouth is repeated three times. It says, shall not, well, four times. The words that I put in your mouth, everybody say my mouth, and shall not depart out of your mouth, point to your neighbor and say your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring. Everybody say, my kids, my offspring, and my grandkids. Now, you can have spiritual offspring and spiritual grandkids. This is a spiritual word. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, and I'm going to show you some things. God, show me some things. It says, from this time forth and forevermore. So this is a covenant of what? What did God give in this covenant? The Holy Spirit and the word in you. That's the covenant. Now, where have you read about that covenant in the Bible? Have you heard anybody preach on this covenant before? Okay. This covenant is a covenant I've never heard anybody preach. The covenant that Isaiah 59 is talking about. Now, here's the thing. I believe that this is a prophecy about Pentecost. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost? A rushing mighty wind like a stream, a river, a powerful river of the Holy Spirit. A stream, a mighty wind, right? That's right there, isn't it? And the Lord drove it. And did the Redeemer come to Zion? Yes, Jesus came, right? And then the river came. And then it says, and those in Jacob will, and it came upon those who turned from their transgressions. Who were they in the upper room? The believers, those of Jacob, the Jewish believers who turned from their sins. They were baptized in the water by John the Baptist.
Were their mouths involved?
And yes, were their mouths involved? Right? So let's go to Joel chapter 2. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. So usually when I hear preaching on Pentecost, I hear Joel chapter 2. Well, I want to tell you that you can preach on Pentecost from Isaiah 59. And they both work beautifully together. Look at Joel chapter 2. That's what Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. This is the covenant of the outpoured spirit. Let me say that again. This is the covenant of the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Spirit poured out on God's people. That's the covenant that God has for you and me. It's a covenant. What's a covenant? That's a solemn agreement that God makes that he will never break. No matter what happens, Holy Spirit is given to you and words of God are put in your mouth. That is the inheritance of every believer in Jesus. The Spirit given to you and the word of God in your mouth that he puts there. Who puts the word of God in your mouth? You or him? Him. That's the key. It says he put the words in your mouth. That means you open up your mouth and the Holy Spirit just says something and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Has that happened to you like it has happened to me? I open my mouth, I don't know what I'm going to say, and all of a sudden words come out. I'm going, whoa, Holy Spirit's in charge of my tongue right now. I went to a meeting, one of the early days of a meeting in college. We had the janitor get up and preach about 50 scriptures from memory that we were like, no way this guy knew all this word. God, Holy Spirit, gave him supernatural memory to quote scripture that he did not memorize. Can you believe that? Can you believe that Peter memorized all those scriptures? As a fisherman, you think possibly that he could have been just prophesying Joel chapter 2 by the Holy Spirit? Just saying. Yes. Anybody else where you just got a scripture and you thought, man, I just quoted that scripture. I don't know how I did it, but it's there. Just see if you have it right. I'm telling you, you can have the word of God put in your mouth. Now, I'm not saying don't read the word. I'm not saying don't memorize the word. What I'm saying is Holy Spirit can give you word. He can. Isn't he the author? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So Peter uses the word prophesy, instead of just saying my words. But are they the same?
Yeah.
Yes. They're the same. Prophets speak the word of the Lord. Now, you may prophesy scripture, but guess how scripture came?
By
Do you know that Moses prophesied when he wrote the law?
Of course he did.
That's how he got the word. And who else besides Moses? After the five books of the Torah are written, he got it by prophecy. Moses, Holy Spirit came on Moses, and then he heard God what? Write this down, and he wrote it down. Isn't that prophecy? Except he used a pen. Well, not a pen. I don't know what he used.
A chisel.
A chisel, probably. At least for the Ten Commandments. Right? But I'm thinking, obviously, they used something else to write on. Right? Huh? Skins. Yeah, they used animal skins. Or and the Egyptians, of course, used parchment. Right? Embroidery. Took him a while. No wonder he was up there 40 days, right? He had to kill a few animals to get the skins ready. Can you imagine that? Brother Eddie, the Lord says, go out and kill a few deer because I've got some skins for you to ride on. And by the way, eat the meat. Right, Brother Josh? Okay. So it says prophecy. And then it says your old man will dream dreams. So dreams can be prophetic. And they are. I'm telling you, you don't have to be an old man to dream a dream. It's just that old men get to dream more because they sleep more. It's true. When I was younger, I did not sleep as much as I sleep now. Praise God. Okay. And then it says, young men shall see visions. I've seen some visions where I was awake and I saw some things, but I don't get as many visions now that as I get dreams. Maybe it's because I sleep more. I don't know. How many of you had a vision? That means when your eyes were open, you were awake, and you saw something in the spirit. I mean, I'll never forget in 2000, we had revival here in 2000, and I believe you got to be able to see in the heavenly places. God has to give you the gift of seeing heavenly examples. And so we were having this meeting, and this is before we fixed this church up, right? Because we fixed the church up in 2010. So think of the platform here, and this thing is there. And we had this angelic invasion, and there was an angel that, there was no closet there. There was an angel that Liz saw right there in the corner. And then there was another angel right there standing, and I would just walk over the podium and fall down and not know why the Holy Spirit would hit me. And Liz said, Dad, she said, that's because there was an angel standing, and he would just put his little finger out and touch you. I didn't see the angel, but I sure felt the angel. So I guess I'm more a feeler than a seer, right? Yes. Sometimes you may feel, how many of you feel the Holy Spirit more than you see the Holy Spirit? I feel Him. I feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm just going to be honest. I've learned to know how He talks to me. So there are times, so how do I know? Sometimes you feel something in your gut. Sometimes you feel some peace in there. Sometimes you feel like no peace, which means no, watch out. This ain't right. And so God has given us the ability to sense Him, to feel Him. And a lot of times I feel the presence of the Lord, my nose starts to just go itchy. It just starts to heat up. And I know this is the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the nose is the place of the sensing. You sense things. It's a sensory location. And so sometimes people feel heat in their hands. Some people feel heat in their ears. I mean, there's a lot of things that God will do. But it says that you shall see visions. And it says on thy male and female, even on the male and female lower class people, I'm going to pour out my spirit. The servants, that means all the folks in your household that are not your family are going to be poured out. God's doing it for everybody. And I will show wonders in heaven and the earth and blood and fire and columns of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So Peter quotes this scripture, but essentially it is the fulfillment of this covenant right here in Isaiah 59 that says that I am going to what? Put my spirit upon you. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. So what did they do in Acts chapter 2? It says the Holy Spirit came upon them and what? And they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. That means you're talking because He's the one telling you what to say. And that's the one of the hardest things. When people receive the Holy Spirit, go to Acts chapter 2. It says, verse 3, yeah. Of Acts chapter 2, it says, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, okay, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues," different kinds of tongues. In other words, that word divided, that means there was more than one language being spoken at the same time as fire. Okay, these divided tongues of fire, and they rested on everybody. In other words, there wasn't just one big gigantic flame. There was little flames on everybody and rested on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to say it. That means you are saying a language with words that the Spirit gives you, not your own natural mind. Let me say that again. You didn't read it. You didn't think it. It just came. And one of the hardest, like I said, one of the things you got to do when you minister to people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit, is you have to teach them not to think too much, not to work their mind, because a lot of times you want to imagine it or think it or work your mind and talk. And the Holy Spirit wants you to learn to just open your mouth by faith and move your lips and your tongue and just whatever it is, and don't judge it, because people many times will judge it, because at first it may just be la, 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 la. And that's no problem. Don't worry about that, because usually the language comes, and there are some languages, believe it or not, out there that sound a lot different than that, that you think, how could this possibly be a language? I mean, when I was in Africa, I was talking to some of my buddies that I was making there in South Africa. I'm telling you now, I'm not kidding. How many of you heard about the African language where everything is done by clicking? That's the language. And he was from a tribe. He knew the tribe that talked like that, clicking. Don't judge it. They know exactly what they're saying. Okay, so now I want to go with you now to Galatians chapter 3:13. Galatians 3:13. And then I'm going to talk to you. I feel like we're going to put this application, and then we'll finish up. Got this in one other scripture. Galatians 3:13. This is the gospel right here. And a lot of people, like I said, the gospel that's in the Bible is not always the gospel that people think it is. Okay? The gospel in the Bible is so pure and so powerful. A lot of people think the blessing of Abraham is everything but the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. They just think it is. And so you hear about all this stuff. The beginning of the blessing of Abraham is Holy Spirit. And I want to show you that really that covenant in Isaiah 59 is really the covenant with Abraham. Because look where it is. Look what it says in Galatians 3. It says that Christ, Jesus, right, redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the cross. That tree there is another word for cross. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the nations. You think Gentiles, that's everybody that's not a Jew. It's everybody non-Israel. So the blessing of Abraham is now on everybody other than Jews. So that we might receive, what's the blessing of Abraham? The what? The promised Spirit through faith. Same thing. I will put my Spirit on you, and through faith, you're going to speak my words. Right? What are you speaking? You're speaking the word of God. Why are you speaking? Why is the Spirit on you? Because you have faith in Jesus. When you have faith in Jesus, what does God, how does God respond? How does God bless you? By giving you Holy Spirit. How does God do any blessing to you? By giving you Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God's blessing. Holy Spirit is God's blessing. And when Holy Spirit comes by faith, you receive the Word. And you receive the Word by faith, and then Holy Spirit comes. I mean, it's just there. It's those two essential parts. That's why Jesus died. Jesus died so you can have Holy Spirit, and it never stops. It's the blessing of Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you. What did he tell Abraham? He said, I'm going to give you the blessings of heaven, the earth, the stars. But how is it done? Through Holy Spirit. And through Holy Spirit, you can get everything. You can have everything. You can be blessed with the blessings of Abraham. Holy Spirit is the way. It is the way to express Christ's work on the cross. Holy Spirit. And a lot of religious people try to relegate Holy Spirit to a denomination or denominations. It's Bible. Holy Spirit is not a movement. Holy Spirit is not a denomination. Holy Spirit is not just a behavior that funny people do. That's not what it's about. Holy Spirit is not just miracles. Holy Spirit is Jesus. He said, I'm going to be going and I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit so you will not be alone. And I'll be with you always. I will be with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How could Jesus ever say that? Because Holy Spirit has been given to us. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus has set me free from the principles of death. Amen. So we need Holy Spirit. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. So, and we do it through faith. What's our faith? Our faith is in Jesus. That's where the faith is. And if you, and who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word of God. So if you have faith in the Word of God, you have faith in who? Jesus. Jesus. He's the Word of God, right? John chapter 1:1. Everybody believe that? So if you believe the Word of God, you have faith in Jesus. And if you do, Holy Spirit is coming. And we just need more. We need more Holy Spirit. Because I want, you know, there's a lot of word out there, but I want Holy Spirit because I know Holy Spirit is going to say just the right word that I need. You know? So, I'm going to give you one more scripture and then we'll be done. I'm going to be done in 10 minutes, okay? Depending on what the Lord does. But let's go to Psalm 51. I'm going to show you something kind of interesting. Psalm 51. One of my most amazing psalms, and we're going to sing it at the end. Do you realize that this psalm was that David wrote? The most powerful redemptive psalm, I believe, in the scriptures was written when David was at his lowest point, when he least deserved God's mercy. Right? He messed up with Bathsheba. Look what it says. In Psalm 51, David confesses his sin. I know my transgressions. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me from iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Verse 2. Look at all the words about sin. Verse 3. I know my transgressions. Another word for sin, right? And my sin is ever before you. And then he makes a confession. He says, Lord, I know that my sin was against you. That's the only sin that matters. You know, that's a lot of people think. They'll judge you based on how you do stuff to other people, but really that's not what it's about. It's like, what's your relationship with God? And this is, I'm going to talk about this on another message, but repentance is the most important thing that anybody could ever do. First, you have to do, the door to salvation is through the door of repentance. And that's conviction of sin, and that's in repenting. And I'm going to try to deal with that. Very, very important because the church has gotten a lot of greasy grace because of our American culture that says that you are wonderful, you're perfect, you were born that way, You know, you've got the world before you. You're going to, you know, you're going to, you know, create a cure to cancer. I mean, I'm not saying that's not true, but it gives you this sense that you don't have anything to really repent about. You see anything about repentance? And so that's it's a very harmful kind of attitude. It says, look at this in verse 5. I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mom conceive me. I believe this could very possibly be David interceding for the child that's going to die. I was born in iniquity. My mom in sin conceived me. Could be that he was interceding for the child that died. But you delight in truth in the inward being, right? He's using the sense of the womb and what's on the inside. He says, you want truth inside there. So he's dealing with all of this stuff going on. And you delight in truth in the inward being, in the secret heart, wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. Let me hear joy and gladness. I'm kind of scrolling through it pretty quick, but I want to go to verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit in me. I want you to see how many times David confesses the Holy Spirit. You do not see this in scriptures like this. In the Old Testament, you don't see spirit mentioned this many times. And make a note in your Bibles, verse 11. Verse 11 is the first occurrence of the word Holy Spirit. First. You realize that? Holy Spirit is not found in the scriptures until Psalm 51. Just to give you a perspective about that. It'll say the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of this, but Holy Spirit. What does that say? This whole psalm he's been confessing what? His sin. Right? What's the number one problem with humanity? It's not their knowledge. It's not being stupid, though there's plenty of that. Right? It's not strength. It's not living forever. Number one problem, sin. And so the answer is not the Spirit of the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? The answer is Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that makes you holy. It's the only way you can be holy. And Jesus is the only one that can give you Holy Spirit because he died for your sins. You can't get Holy Spirit. You need Jesus to get Holy Spirit. And we're emphasizing the holy part. Do you realize that there was no way that this man right here could ever do the right things over my life if it wasn't for Holy Spirit? No way, Jose. Sorry to say it like that, but no way. No way. It says, don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. What does Holy Spirit do to you? He makes you want to do the right thing. And David was chosen by God. And yet, he needed Holy Spirit. And he realized that he sinned against Holy Spirit. And when he did, he said, Lord, I don't want to lose what I've got. I don't want to lose the Spirit of God because it's through the Spirit of God that you put your words in my mouth. And do you realize that this psalm right here is the Word of God? It's the Word of God. So aren't you glad David wrote Psalm 51? Yeah. I'd say that. Dave, sorry about that. You really blew it, but I'm blessed by it. Right? Do you mean that God can use your weakest moments to bless other people? He sure can, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. You can't go no deeper than Jesus. Jesus went all the way to hell. Grave. Can't go no deeper. Nobody can. But nobody, you can't go no higher, right? Ain't going no higher. Yeah. Right? So I thought what we'd do is this. I thought we would just sing that song, Create in Me a Clean Heart and Renew a Right Spirit in Me. And when we do that, I want us to see that as we sing that song, that we're singing the blessings of Abraham on us, that God has made available to us because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen.